Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Show me the science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science, my weekly podcast when I pick a topic and try to go into it. And thanks to people who email me and say they're enjoying it. It's always nice to know people out there listening. And my email is laoneill with two L's at tcd.ie, and I will take requests. And this isn't a request, but I have a few requests coming up in the next few. Now, this one is quite a serious one. It is the science of the current flu outbreak. Now, it's serious because Ireland at the moment, like many countries in Europe, is in the middle of a huge outbreak of flu. And really, the message here is a simple one. I'm going to tell you why it's happening. I'm going to tell you what we can do about it. The number one message, as ever, is take the vaccine, because there's a very effective vaccine that will protect you from getting severe disease. And it's more about the severe end. It'll stop you getting really sick and ending up in hospital and putting pressure on the healthcare system. And even though this is a more, shall we say, dangerous form of flu at the moment, the vaccines available protect. There's great evidence they're very protective against severe disease. That'll be the bottom line. Now, you all know what flu is, because we've all had it. Influenza is the posh name for it. Every winter, we see a big increase in flu. Why is that? It's just like COVID. It spreads between people indoors where there's no ventilation. You breathe out the virus from your lungs, or you bring it out on droplets. And if you're near someone, they might catch it off you. And the reason why it goes up in winter is we're indoors more. It's very simple. We go indoors because it's cold. And now the flu starts to spread. And every winter it's the same. You all know the symptoms. It'll often start actually with a very runny nose. And this year is one actually. That seems to be the first symptom. People notice their nose is running like a tap. Now they think it's a cold. And if you're lucky, it is a cold, because that's more benign than this. But then you develop a cough. The big sign you're in trouble is very bad aches and pains. It's called myalgia. Your muscles and joints begin to ache. If you have a temperature, now we know it's flu, because you rarely get temperatures with a cold. And then severe fatigue. You feel like you can't lift your head up off the pillow. If you have those combined, and even one or two of them, it's a sign you've got the flu. And remember, at the moment, and again, we've evidence in Ireland, people are monitoring this. If you catch it, you're probably going to be laid up for 3, 4, or 5 days in bed. That's how serious it is. And some people are in bed for a week, 2 weeks. And of course, they get over it because your immune system kicks in to fight it. But some people get really severe disease, end up in hospital, and then sadly, some people die of this. It will kill you if you're in a certain high-risk group. So it's a serious thing. The common cold cannot kill you. Flu can, because the virus can really grow in your lungs, damaging your lungs massively. And most people die of lung damage and respiratory failure and the awful pressure their bodies are put under by this little nasty virus called the influenza virus. So we know an awful lot about it, because flu has been around for a very long time. The similarity with COVID is the way it spreads. COVID is a more benign disease now, because we've all got immunity to it. In fact, there's evidence now that the SARS-CoV-2 virus will become like another cause of the common cold. And the reason for that is our immune systems are very effective at fighting it. The trouble with flu is our immune systems have a harder time with it, especially if you're in certain high-risk groups. Now, by the way, the high-risk groups apply to COVID as well. It's not benign for everybody. Many people can get very sick from COVID still. But with flu, it seems a bit more mischievous because it changes more. So every winter, a new one comes along. Now, it's the same virus family. There's a variant, we call this, in the influenza virus, because it's a bit slippery. Every time the virus copies itself, little errors creep in and you might get a different kind of strain. And it's a random process. And this seems to happen much more readily with the flu virus than with SARS-CoV-2. SARS-CoV-2 is more stable. It does change, mind you. It will mutate, and at the copying mechanism, they make errors just like with flu. But the flu error rate in the virus itself is higher. So therefore, it's kind of changing every season. Now, let's talk about the high-risk groups, because it's important, as I say, to get this out there early. We know, as I say, most people fight it and they get over it, so their immune systems kick in. Thank God for your immune system, because it fights the thing, gets rid of it. But if you're older, which means over 60, Let's make that clear. The risk begins as you turn the age of 60. Second, and the reason for that, of course, is like most parts of your body, your immune system is less effective as you get older and therefore less able to fight the virus. Secondly, and equally importantly, if you have certain diseases, you are in a high-risk group. Now, what are these diseases? Diabetes is a big risk factor. Heart disease is a big risk factor. And anything that affects your lungs, because the virus infects the lungs. So if your lungs are a bit weaker, it can get a foothold. Now, we're talking about asthma and a thing called COPD, which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, also called emphysema. That's a lung disease. And that means your lungs are under pressure. Diabetics are in trouble because generally their bodies are a bit more stressed and their immune system is a bit less active. And again, the virus gets a foothold. And heart disease, of course, puts huge pressure on your body anyway. And that means, again, your immune system is less able to fight this virus, especially if a new variant comes along. And those high-risk groups are the same for COVID. If you have those conditions, you're at a higher risk of getting severe disease from COVID. A last one is obesity. That, in fact, is probably the highest risk factor of all these things. Same in COVID. If you're obese, sadly, your immune system's under severe pressure because of the obesity. And again, you can't fight the virus. And your lungs are under pressure because of the obesity as well. And you can't breathe as effectively. So therefore, the virus begins to latch into your lungs, which is where the influenza virus lives. Just like COVID, it's a respiratory virus and goes into your airways and affects the cells in your lungs. So they're all high-risk groups. If they get the flu, they could be in serious trouble. And the ones who get really sick are often in those groups, usually. The second group that is at high risk actually is young children and babies. And that's different to COVID. COVID doesn't really affect children, which is a blessing, of course. And I've kind of said this, even though people are horrified when I say we got lucky with COVID, we did kind of, because imagine if that was harming children, that would have been a much more severe prospect. But flu can infect infants and children. Now, the reason for this is their immune systems are immature and haven't developed yet fully. And therefore, the virus gets in and begins to run amok. So again, children, babies, especially under fives, are at a higher risk of severe disease. And nobody wants their three-year-old to get really sick with flu. And then lastly, pregnancy. Women who are pregnant, they're a bit immunosuppressed. The reason for that is they're trying to maintain the fetus. And the immune system, there's a risk of the immune system attacking the fetus because it's a semi-foreign tissue, because 50% of it comes from the man. So therefore, women are inclined to be a little bit immunosuppressed. And again, if they catch the virus, it can get run amok in their lungs and make them very, very sick. What's also serious here is it can infect the developing fetus as well. And it can be a cause of miscarriage, for instance, and harm the developing baby. So therefore, pregnant women have to be careful as well. All of these people should be vaccinated, without doubt, because the vaccine goes in and it boosts your immune system to fight the virus should you get infected. So remember, the vaccines are there, especially for those high-risk groups. And it's free to people over 60. It's free to pregnant women. It's free to children. So you don't need to pay for it. And secondly, pharmacies give it, which makes it much more convenient. You don't need to go to your GP. Go to your local pharmacy. They don't all stock it, though. You might ring up ahead of time. And if your pharmacy has it, the pharmacist is more than happy to give you a shot of the flu vaccine. And then for under fives as well, between 2 and 5 years, that age group, it's a nasal vaccine, because babies don't like injections, do they? So they made a nasal form that goes in, that's easier to take, a little few droplets in the nose. Now, mind you, the injectable, the needles are so thin now. If anybody who does get injected, you won't even hardly notice it, you know, so it's not a huge issue. But even still, the nasal route is seen as a bit more sort of simple for children and more compliance. The parents are more likely to go if they feel they aren't using needles. So it's a way to incentivize parents to bring their children in, I guess. Now, every winter, then the flu comes along and the doctors worry. They worry that it'll go through the roof and our healthcare system will be overwhelmed. Now, when you see people on trolleys in Irish hospitals, it's mainly flu. They're in those trolleys because they have severe flu and they're overwhelming the system, not enough beds, right? And of course, this season in particular, we know now that the virus that's out there is a bit more troublesome. And why is that? Well, again, every winter they try and predict what the viral strain will be, and they make a vaccine tailored to that virus strain. You can make vaccines specific for the strain that's kind of doing the rounds. And how do you know the one that's coming? To look at Australia. In the Southern Hemisphere, they have their winters first, and the variant that's emerging begins to infect people there. And the World Health Organization measures this, and they say, this is the one that's coming. So you guys in Europe, make a vaccine for that one. So we're trying to anticipate what the variant is. Because as the winter comes on, people move into the Northern Hemisphere, say, or whatever, bring it with them. And that's the one that begins to spread. So we're trying to second guess what the variant will be every year. And this works up to a point. This year, it wasn't as simple, it turns out. It looks like it mutated between the one that was circulating in the Southern Hemisphere and arriving in Europe, and it was a slightly different one. But even still, having said that, the current vaccines still work. It's all one family. They're all bad guys in the same family. So any vaccine will protect against severe disease. So it's not as big an issue as you might think, that it's a mismatch, because we know that the current vaccines, and the evidence is there, at least 70% protection from severe disease, which is great. That's a high level of protection. So again, any vaccine is there. The great line there is, what's the best vaccine? The one that you're given isn't a bad rule of thumb in this situation. So the ones that are out there will protect you as 70% and higher against getting severe disease. Now, remember, they won't stop you getting infected. And that was a big question during COVID. Like, why am I getting infected? I've had the vaccine. Very few vaccines stop infection, actually. They're not that powerful. What they do is they get your immune system to beat the bad guy up when he's in your body. So you get infected, you have minor symptoms, and now the immune system has now been trained to hunt down the bad guy, and that's the way every vaccine works. So don't ever worry that, oh, it didn't really work. It's stopping you getting really, really sick, right? Now, the one that's out there at the moment, it's called H3N2. Now, all flu viruses have two proteins. One is called hemagglutinin, that's the H, and one is called neuraminidase, that's the N. And the virus uses those two to infect your cells. And the trouble is, they come in different flavors and they number them. So at the moment, it's H3N2. And then within the H3N2 type, even they've changed a bit. It's like flavors isn't a bad way to think of it. So it's changed the H and the N. And your immune system is very good at attacking those two bits, by the way. But if it's changed slightly, then maybe it gets in and gets more of a foothold and your immune system has to catch up a bit. So it seems to be what's happening. And the H3N2, whatever way it's changed, it's able to infect more readily. And therefore, we're seeing more disease in the community because of that. And our government, a couple of weeks ago, is worried that people aren't taking the vaccines, trying to encourage it. It is a bit of a shame, given that this is a almost fully preventable disease that can be prevented with the vaccine. So there's a massive campaign going on now to encourage people. And there's two reasons why you should take the vaccine. One is your own health, first and foremost. You're less likely to get really sick. You don't want to bring it home. So again, if you take the vaccine, your immune system kicks in and decreases your infectivity. So the vaccine will also lower the viral load in your body, and that will mean less likely that you're going to pass it on. So you're protecting yourself, you're protecting your family, which is great. And the second thing, of course, is you're taking pressure off the hospitals. Now, remember, all those people on trolleys, they are taking the doctor's attention away from other people in the hospital with less serious diseases, because the doctors have to prioritize. And because of the risk of you getting really, really sick, the doctors will focus on people with flu, and then it's finite, the resource. So therefore, you're actually harming others by not being vaccinated, because you're ending up in hospital and you're diverting resources away from people with other ailments. Now, not as if these patients are dying with other ailments, but they'd be benefiting from their medical care, you know, and they're suffering a bit more because it's taking longer to treat them because the doctors are now focusing on people with flu. So a big reason then is to help the healthcare system not get overwhelmed. And that helps other people in hospitals with various ailments. So remember, you're helping other sick people. And then the other big thing to say is you're helping the doctors and nurses, because they have to work very hard when there's a huge flu outbreak and they're getting stressed. And we all know about burnout in the medical profession is partly because they're getting overwhelmed. So again, if you are less likely to end up in hospital, there's less pressure on the hospitals and on the doctors, and then it's helping patients in the hospital's other conditions as well. So you're doing it for other people, really. And I often say a big reason to vaccinate is about you, but even more so, it's about your fellow human beings. You're bringing benefits to them as well. And then the other thing to say is it will circulate less if everybody gets vaccinated. The virus has less places to hide and then begins to go away in the community. We achieve what everybody learned during COVID, herd immunity. And vaccination promotes herd immunity. If you vaccinate about 80% of people with the flu vaccine, the herd is now almost protected, because the remaining 20%, there's not enough virus floating around to spread, is the idea. So again, you're promoting the whole notion of herd immunity in that way. Now, if you're worried and you can't take the vaccine, say, because some people have immunosuppression and they're on various meds of various kinds and they can't be vaccinated. And even if you're not vaccinated, we still don't want you getting really sick. There are things you can do. Avoid crowds, enclosed spaces, the usual thing, just like with COVID. You may be wary about going into a pub that's packed with no ventilation because of the risk of you picking up the virus in that closed enclosed space that's badly ventilated. That's the high risk of all, is the badly ventilated places full of people. So you might avoid those. Wash your hands, keep surfaces clean, the same old thing that we learned in COVID. Of course, they all apply because the virus is in these droplets that's coughed out of people and lands on the door handle or whatever. So you might try and keep places clean as well. It's not a bad thing. And it might be on the hand, on your hands as well. And if you wash your hands, you'll stop spreading it. That's more about stopping it being spread, I guess. So that's all the usual things. And if you're really concerned and you have an immunosuppressive disease, you might wear a mask. Now, make sure to wear the N95 masks and make sure they fit properly. And that will protect you because you won't be inhaling the air then and being infected by the virus. So wear the N95. And of course, the big debate during the COVID pandemic, did masks work or did they not? Of course, they worked if they fitted properly and they were the right material. I always say when I was asked about that at the time of COVID, do parachutes work? Yes, they do, but not if you've cut holes in them, you know. And it was the same with masks. Masks work if they're the right kind of mask. So wear the N95 mask if you're worried about this. Now, lastly, if you do get symptoms, you can do things anyway. Stay hydrated. Very important, because the virus will put pressure on your body. You're inclined to lose fluids in various ways, and you need to have a fully hydrated body for the immune system to work properly, because it can dry out, strangely. Now, by drying out, I mean slight dehydration in tissues makes the immune system less effective. So stay hydrated, and you can take paracetamol, ibuprofen, the usual things. They will bring your temperature down and you'll feel much better then, and they will ease some of the aches and pains. So it's okay to take some of those meds. It's useful. And rest up. It's a great excuse to stay in bed, because when you rest, you're not diverting your energy away from the immune system into other things. And now your immune system has the best chance to fight the good fight and eventually allow you to recover. So resting up is good, and try not to stress, because stress is a negative for the immune system. So it's perfectly acceptable to lie in bed all day watching daytime TV, drinking Lucozade or whatever, and taking the odd paracetamol. And that would allow your immune system to do its job, because over time the immune system kicks in. But as I say, it does take 4, 5, 6 days for the immune system to do its job on average, to fight the virus and get rid of it from your body. But all these things will help that process. So very, very important. And if you're worried at all, go and talk to your GP. Never hesitate. They're there to be consulted. If you feel the symptoms are worsening, you should talk to your GP, because it will get a foothold and can get worse and worse, and the GP can help to nip it in the bud. So make sure you talk to your GP, very importantly. There's no doubt at the moment, though, a nasty one that's out there. There's a rough ride coming really in the next few weeks. So watch out for all these things, as I say, and make sure, for the last time, to say it again, take the vaccine, because it will really help you fight this nasty bout of flu that's going around. So there you have it. That is the science of the current flu outbreak. And thanks for listening as ever. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.